I'd like you to turn with me, please, in your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians and to the chapter 12, a very familiar portion of Scripture. Book of 2 Corinthians and to the chapter 12. We're reading just a few verses. We're breaking into the chapter down at the verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Amen, and God will bless our hearts this reading of His own precious Word. We'll bow together with our Bibles opened, and we'll ask the Lord's blessing upon the Word today. Let's all pray together, please. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we bow once more very humbly in Your presence. And we thank Thee for all that has taken place in the hour of worship thus far. We thank You, Lord, for the hymns of Zion that have indeed drawn our hearts heavenward. We thank You for the tithes and for the offerings brought into the storehouse. But Lord, we thank You for the Word of God that we have read together. This is Thy Word, that Word that forever is settled in heaven. And now, Lord, as we would seek to meditate upon it, we would ask that the help of the Holy Spirit would be our portion just now. For these few moments, shelter us neath the blood. Close us in with Thyself, for we ask it in our Saviour's lovely name. Amen and amen. You will know that the Apostle Paul was undoubtedly a man of great faith and a man of true and great devotion. I would say that outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was the man who suffered more for the cause of Christ than any other person. That is why we read his epistles. Those lovely writings wherein we find the encouragement that we need when we too suffer what is called a thorn in the flesh. And Paul quite openly speaks about his thorn. And Paul looks at this thorn, and as far as he is concerned, for him this is a thorn of humility. Paul says in verse 7, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. It was given. Paul said, it was given to me for my good. He said, lest I should be exalted. Paul says, this thorn was given to me for to keep me humble. It was a thorn of humility. But you know, friends, Paul besought the Lord. Paul sought the Lord in great sincerity. Three times he said, I asked the Lord to remove this thorn, but God said no. God simply said no. And you know, dear friends, how careful we need to be as we serve the Lord, that we do not serve the Lord nor suffer for the Lord for all of the wrong reasons, so that we will have the preeminence, so that we might be glorified, or as Paul says, so that we might be exalted. We need to tread carefully. And I am afraid that we're living in a day when many men this morning are standing in pulpits, and the only reason why they are there is because of their praise they receive from people. You see, friends, when we serve the Lord for selfish reasons, there will always be that danger of our pride taking the lead. And sometimes, as Paul says, there has to be given that thorn in the flesh to keep us humble. It has to be a thorn of humility. But as Paul speaks about the thorn, this thing that caused him so much problems and so many problems, he goes on then to speak about the grace. And he speaks about the grace of God in verses 8 and 9 of the passage that we read together. He says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee." You see, friends, as you and I live life, and as we travel through life, as Christians, we need grace. And there's times we need understanding grace. When we get the grace of God settled in our hearts and stored in our hearts, we will understand and we will be able to handle suffering easier when it comes. And you know, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it's very difficult. But when we get that understanding grace from God in our hearts, we will be able to cope with our situations. And also we need sustaining grace. You see, we are saved by grace, but the same grace that saved us is the same grace that sustains us in our times of difficulty, in our trying times. But also we need sufficient grace. There has to be sufficient grace. And Paul is telling his readers that the grace of God is sufficient for all things. And you know, Christian, that is something that you and I would need to grasp hold of this morning. That God's grace is sufficient not for some things, but God's grace for the child of God is sufficient for all things. All things. You know, this grace is God's unmerited favor to you and to me. There is nothing that we can do to merit it. We do not deserve it. Paul says that he did not deserve it. But here the Lord comes close and draws near to Paul, and the Lord whispers graciously to Paul, "Paul, Paul, my grace is sufficient." Aren't those wonderful words this morning, child of God? Those four simple words, "My grace is sufficient." Now today, for a few moments, that is what I want us to consider together. When is God's grace sufficient? When is God's grace sufficient for you? When is God's grace sufficient for me? You've probably heard it all preached upon before, but the Lord certainly has laid it upon our hearts for today. My grace is sufficient. The first thing I want to say concerning those four words is this. God would say to us each one this morning, "My grace is sufficient in the hour of salvation." My grace is sufficient in the hour of salvation. If you turn to the book of Ephesians and to the chapter 2, that great chapter, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." A very simple text of Scripture. "For by grace are you saved through faith." Now this morning, let's stop for a moment. And let's consider together what we were before salvation. And we didn't have very much to be proud of. Sure we didn't. But listen, what were we before salvation? We were lost. We were bound for hell. We were dead in trespasses and in sin. If you read that, you will find it, verses 1 to 3. We walked the course of this old world, the course that the world had laid out for us. We walked according to the course of the world, the Scripture says. We lived in a manner that the old nature dictated to us. We all had our former conversation or our manner of living in time past. Friends, we were a people and we were hopeless and we were helpless. We were without God and we were without grace in this old world. That was you and that was me before salvation. But look at what God did in bringing to us salvation. When we were dead, He gave us light. It says here, He quickened us. We were spiritually dead, but God came and gave us life. Life everlasting. Life more abundant in Jesus. God lifted us and He raised us up in the heavenlies. Dear friends, dear Christian this morning, although we are here on earth, our position today is in heaven. Thank God for that. One day, that is going to become a reality for you and for me. And God goes on ahead and God makes us a trophy of His marvelous grace. That He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in us. You know, God saved us by His grace. Works had absolutely nothing to do with it. And we're living in a day when there's so many people depending upon their works. And it has absolutely nothing to do with works. God did for us what man could never do. And God has done for us that we could not do ourselves. God saved us, child of God, by His grace. But look at us now after salvation. Don't think you're perfect. If you do, take a wee walk to the mirror first thing in the morning when you get out of bed. And I'll tell you, you'll soon change your mind about your perfection. But what are we now after salvation? It reads in verse 10. Listen, we are His masterpiece, a workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Do you know this morning, Christian, you're a masterpiece. Isn't that wonderful? What does an artist do once he paints what he considers his finest work? Does he put a big cloth over it and put it away in a dark corner and forget all about it? Not at all. He puts it out on display where everyone can see it and where everyone can admire it and see the beauty of it. Dear friends, God did not save us by His grace that we might hide our salvation. Not at all. We have been created in Him. We are new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has created us to do good works. Now, don't get a wee bit mixed up there. Please. We do not work in order to be saved. But we work because we are saved. So in the hour of salvation, God would say to you and to me this morning, God would remind you and remind me this morning, God says, in that hour, My grace is sufficient. And only God's grace is sufficient. Can I ask the congregation a simple question this morning? Have you ever enjoyed that wonderful experience? Has there been a day, has there been an hour in your life when you can look back and you can say, that was the day that I was saved. That was the morning, that was the evening, that was the night when God's grace was sufficient for me. Maybe you're sitting here today in the house of God, amongst the people of God, and you're not saved. dear unsaved man, dear unsaved woman, dear unsaved young person, I have a message for you today regarding salvation. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. You can be saved today. My grace is sufficient, God says, in the hour of salvation. But then he goes on to put on ahead and he says, my grace is sufficient in the hour of sin. In the hour of sin. You see, it says in 1 John chapter 1 and in the verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see, friends, sin breaks fellowship with God. It doesn't break relationship, but it breaks fellowship with God. You remember Adam and Eve, they sinned. Fellowship with God was broken. David sinned. Fellowship with God was broken. Abraham sinned. Fellowship with God was broken. And dear friend, when sin gets into the life of a believer, fellowship with God is broken, and that is a calamity for a child of God. Outside of being saved, the most precious thing to us should be our fellowship with our God. Oh, to enjoy that early morning walk with Him. To enjoy that daily conversation with Him while we're on our knees. To enjoy the sweet peace that fellowship brings. You know, the hymn writer, and very often we just sing hymns and we don't think of what we're singing. But oh, how well the hymn writer puts it when he says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me, I am his own. Friends, what fellowship? Are you enjoying that sweet fellowship today with God? But you know, friends, if we're not careful and sin gets into the life, sin makes us deceivers. If we say we have no sin, we deceive. It says in verse 8 of the reading. But who do we deceive? We deceive ourselves. The truth does not lie within us. We are living a lie. Friends, I learned a long, long time ago a very hard lesson. You cannot be honest with God and with others until you're honest, first of all, with yourself. The only person you will actually deceive is you. And the Scripture says that sin makes us liars. We lie. We lie in what we say. It says here, if we say, look what it says in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship and walk in darkness, we lie in what we say, and we lie in what we do. We're walking in darkness, and you cannot have fellowship with Him when we're walking in darkness. Friends, our living needs to match up with what our lips are saying. And our sayings need to correspond with our living. An old man used to say, you don't talk the walk, you walk the talk. You cannot walk in darkness, in sin, and claim to have fellowship with God. Friends, it is impossible to walk with the Lord with sin in our lives. Sin breaks fellowship with God. And if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. You know, a real Christian cannot be happy as long as sin stands between him and God. You cannot be happy. As was prayed in the prayer meeting this morning, if a child of God backslides, you are spoiled for the world, and the world is spoiled for you. You can never, never be happy. You remember Peter when he denied the Savior. Oh, the old nature had the upper hand. Satan had Peter just where he wanted him. And Peter did not feel right. Peter's heart was broken after his denial. Why? Because Peter was a real Christian. Peter belonged to the Lord. And Peter repented of his sin. And Peter found forgiveness. And oh dear friends, how often we need to practice 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins. Do you know we have a part to play in restoration? And that's it. If we confess our sins. And God has a part to play in restoration. He is faithful and just to forgive us. And that's what God does for us in restoration. You know, I love David, the man of God. And David was usually a very happy man. And the sweet psalms that he wrote, my, it proved it. All the joy and the fellowship that he enjoyed with his God. But he was miserable when he got caught up in his sin. His heart was broken. Fellowship was broken. Until he got to Psalm 51. And what did he do about it? He cried to the God of heaven, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You see, dear friends, David knew that God's grace was sufficient in his sins. And I wonder if there's a David sitting in this house this morning. And you are a backslider. There was a time that you loved the house of God. And you loved the Word of God. And you loved the people of God. And you loved the things of God. If there's such a one in this place this morning, you need to get to Psalm 51. You need to get to where David got to. And I'll tell you something. God's grace is sufficient for you, dear backslider. God can meet your need today. Now this is a very hard and a very difficult one to deal with, this third point. And God's grace is sufficient, friends, in those hours of trials, of sorrow, and of suffering. Back to a reading in 2 Corinthians into the chapter 12. You see, Paul knew all about afflictions. Knew them all. There were beatings. There was humiliations. He was spat upon. Made fun of. He had eye problems. Paul knew that with all of the physical and mental stresses that he was suffering, that for him this would be a hindrance in his ministry. So what did he do? He besought the Lord three times. He said three times, I pleaded with the Lord to remove the problem. But God said no. 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 But God promised him victory because of his grace. Friends, there are times that I do not understand why the good people of God suffer. And I say that this morning affectionately. I do not understand why the good people of God suffer. But God has never asked us to understand it. God just asks us in those times to trust Him. And you know, friends, there's times, and there will be times, that we will not understand. And maybe this side of eternity, we'll never understand why things have happened in our lives. As the hymn writer says, perhaps not till the loom is silent and the shuttle ceased to fly. Will God unroll the canvas and reveal the reason why? But the dark threads are as needful in the weaver's skillful hands as the threads of gold and silver in the pattern God has planned. You know, friends, we need to trust the Lord with all of our hearts and lean not on our own understandings. In all our ways acknowledge Him and He will direct our paths. You see, Paul makes an unusual statement in the verse 10. Paul says, I take pleasure in infirmities. Can you imagine taking pleasure in them? In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. And then he says, I'll tell you why, for Christ's sake. You see, as far as Paul is concerned, it's all about Christ. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul here covered about everything that Christians would have to suffer. Covers the whole ground. And yet, in it all and through it all, he saw no one but the Savior, but Christ, he says, for Christ's sake. I wonder if there's someone in God's house today, and you have never had a problem. You have never had a sorrow. You have never had a trouble nor a trial. You have never had a broken heart. I wonder, is there one in the house today? Surely there's not. If there is, I envy you, I can tell you. Friends, when we are weak, when we are suffering, when we have problems, it has a way of drawing us closer to the Lord. We draw our strength from Him. He talks about my strength. You know, friends, it's not always easy when you're going through testing times. When there's illnesses, when there's family problems, when there's sorrows, when your heart is broken. But Paul found, and you will find, that God says to us, my grace is sufficient. And child of God, I don't know your problem and you don't know mine. But God will say to you, as He will say to me this morning, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Dear child of God, all I can say to you this morning in your times of trouble and trial and testing, God's grace is sufficient. It's sufficient. Then very quickly and finally, God's grace will be sufficient even in the hour of death. It will be sufficient even in the hour of death. If you read 2 Timothy in chapter 4, it's a familiar portion of Scripture, you will find that for Paul, life's journey is coming to a close. Life for Paul is almost over. Paul's head is about to roll. The axe has been sharpened. Is he afraid? Is he terrified? He says in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Isn't that wonderful? In the very hour, the very moment of death, Paul says, I am now ready to be offered. Paul wasn't scurrying about. Paul wasn't rushing here, there, and yonder, trying to get his house set in order. Paul knew that he was not alone when he faced death. Dear friends, the grace of God that saved him is now sustaining him. Paul says, the time of my departure, not in 3 hours' time, not in 4 hours' time, not in 5 hours' time, not in a week's time, Paul says, now, I am now ready to be offered. Paul was looking forward to it. Nothing else around him mattered. He was going into the very presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's all Paul could think about. And God's grace was sufficient for him in his hour of death. You know, friends, what is the tragedy of facing death? The tragedy of facing death is when you face it alone and lost. And that's so very sad. You see, no one can face it with you, and no one can face it for you. And oh, what a blessing it is When you read of the believer facing death, as we have done here, there is no fear. There is no problem. The psalmist could say in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." You know, I love the old hymn that says, "When I come to the river at the ending of day, and when the last winds of sorrow have blown, there'll be somebody waiting to show me the way, and I won't have to cross Jordan alone." You know, friends, when we die, as we will, people will talk about us. "He was a great fella. Oh, he was a good companion. Done well in society. Everybody thought the world of him." There'll be all manner of nice things said about it. But when it really comes down to dying, dear friends, all that will really matter, all that will really count, is the grace of God. We have sung this morning already. "Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." I'm sure you heard the story of Theodore Roosevelt as he was returning from Africa after a successful campaign. He was welcomed by thousands and thousands of people. But on that ship, there was an old missionary returning home, coming near the end of his journey. And he was a wee bit taken back because he saw the thousands of people there to welcome Theodore Roosevelt home. And there was no one to welcome him, not a one. And he was a wee bit downcast, and he said to the Lord that night as he lay in his bed, "Lord, I've spent the years of my life serving you in Africa. I've told the natives of Christ and your love for them. I've suffered malaria, I've had sicknesses, I've had diseases and fevers. And yet, Lord," he says, "there was no one to welcome me home, not one." And as that old man lay that night upon his bed, just before he went to sleep, the Lord spoke to his heart. And the Lord says, "Child of God, you're not home yet. You're not home yet." And dear child of God, our trials and our sufferings and our difficulties may come, and the world may pass us by, but listen, child of God, we are not home yet. We're not home yet. And when we get home, God will make everything right. When we get to heaven, we will see those loved ones who have gone away on before us. But the crowning day of our homecoming will be when the Savior welcomes us home. Down through the ages, we will remember. We will remember, friends, that God's grace, that it was always sufficient. It was His grace that has brought us home to heaven. Isn't God's grace a wonderful thing? And God would say to us each one this morning, "We do not know what lies ahead, and the way we cannot see. But one stands near to be our guide, and He'll show the way to me." And as He does, He says, "Listen, my grace is sufficient." Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Friends, may the grace of God be sufficient for you this morning if you're not saved in salvation. May the grace of God be sufficient to you today, backslider in your sin. Come back to the Lord. Child of God, in the burdens and worries and cares of life, may God's grace be sufficient for you. And in our hour of death, we have this assurance. God says to us, "My grace is sufficient." May the Lord bless His word to our hearts today. We're going to bow together as we close in prayer. If there's one this morning in the house of God, maybe there's somebody that's not saved and the Lord has spoken to you. Maybe there's a backslider and you've realized this morning and you're sick and tired of your backslidden condition. I'll be at the door to shake hands with you if I can help you this morning. Speak to us at the door. And once more, I'll say to you, unsaved backslider, God will say to you today, my grace is sufficient. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sense of your presence. Part us now with your blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Remember us again in the evening service. Come up and meet with us. We ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. Amen.